Week 2, God's Part in Our Part.
This is the most important section of the study because how we view God determines how we live. In the Bible, God calls himself by more than 250 names, and the one that best describes God's part in the area of money is Lord. Now, there are three elements to God's role: ownership, control, and provision. First, ownership. The Lord owns all of our stuff. Psalm 24:1 tells us, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." In Leviticus 25:23, God says, "The land is mine." In Haggai 2:8, he says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine." And in Psalm 50, he says, "Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains." Think about this. The Lord created everything, and he never transferred the ownership of his creation to us. You and I own nothing, zero, absolutely nothing. And as we'll see throughout this study, recognizing God's ownership is crucial in allowing Jesus Christ to become the Lord of our finances. Now, if we're going to be genuine followers of Christ, we must transfer ownership of our possessions to the Lord. Luke 14:33 says it this way: "None of you can be my disciples who does not give up all of his own possessions." When we acknowledge God's ownership, every spending decision becomes a spiritual decision. No longer do we ask, "Lord, what do you want me to do with my money?" It becomes, "Lord, what do you want me to do with your money?" And when we have this attitude, spending and saving decisions become just as spiritual as giving decisions. But here's the challenge. Everybody around believes that they own their stuff. And it's easy for us to think that God owns all I have, but live as if this isn't true. Really embracing his ownership requires a complete transformation in our thinking. So here's a suggestion to help you recognize God's ownership. You've worked hard to memorize 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 12, so for the next 30 days, meditate on it when you first awake and just before going to sleep. You know, I've discovered that recognizing the Lord's ownership is so important in learning contentment. Let me give you an example. Shortly after a friend learned God's ownership, he purchased a car. And he'd driven it for only 2 days before somebody rammed into the side of it. And his first reaction was, "Lord, I don't know why you want a dent in your car, but you've got a big one." And he was learning contentment. Well, besides being owner of everything, God is ultimately in control of everything. 1 Chronicles 29:11 tells us, "We adore you as being in control of everything." And Psalm 135 says, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth." The Lord is also in control of even difficult circumstances. Isaiah 45:6 and 7 tells us, "I am the Lord and there is no other, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity." You know, it sure helps us to realize that our Heavenly Father uses even difficult circumstances for ultimate good in the lives of the godly. Romans 8:28 tells us, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, the Lord allows us to experience difficult circumstances for at least three reasons: to develop our character, to accomplish his intentions, and to lovingly discipline us when it's needed. We'll examine these in greater detail in the crisis section in week 8. Now, God's third role is that he promises to provide our needs. I love what Matthew 6:33 says. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things," meaning food and clothing, "shall be given to you." You know, the same Lord who fed manna to the children of Israel during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the same Lord who satisfied the hunger of 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, has promised to meet all of our needs. It's the same Lord who told Elijah, "I've commanded the ravens to provide for you." And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Now listen carefully. God is totally predictable in his faithfulness to provide for our needs. What we can't predict is how he'll provide. He uses different and often very surprising means to care for us. He might meet our needs through increased income or an unexpected gift. On the other hand, he might choose to stretch our resources through money-saving purchases. Regardless of how he chooses to provide our needs, he's completely reliable. Charles Allen tells a terrific story that illustrates this. As World War II was drawing to a close, the Allied armies gathered up a lot of orphans and placed them in camps where they were well fed. But despite great care, the orphans were afraid and they couldn't sleep. Finally, a doctor came up with a good idea. When the children were put to sleep, he gave each of them a piece of bread to hold. Any child that was hungry could get more to eat, but when they were finished, they still had this piece of bread just to hold. And this produced wonderful results. The children went to bed knowing instinctively they'd have food to eat the next day, and that simple guarantee gave them a very restful sleep. And you know, the Lord has given us His guarantee, our piece of bread. As we cling to His promise of provision, we can relax. We can be content. Remember what Philippians 4:19 promises. And my God shall meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Wow, how cool is that? But you know, God, as He's revealed in the Bible, is much different than most people imagine. We tend to shrink Him down to our own human abilities and limitations, forgetting that as Isaiah 51 says, He stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You know, only by studying the Bible can we expand our vision of who He really is. Let me give you some examples. Think about some of His names and attributes: Creator, Almighty, Eternal, All-Knowing, All-Powerful, Awesome, Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. You know, the Lord's power and ability are simply beyond our understanding. Astronomers estimate there are more than 100 billion galaxies in the universe, each containing billions of stars. The distance from one end of a galaxy to the other is often measured in millions of light years. Isaiah wrote, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing." The Bible also reveals that God establishes the nations. Acts 17:26 tells us, "The Lord scattered the nations across the face of the earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall and win. He determined their boundaries." And Isaiah 40, which is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, says it this way, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is He who reduces rulers to nothing. The nations are like a drop from a bucket and regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. All the nations are as nothing before Him." And as if that's not enough, Psalm 139 reveals God's involvement with each of us as individuals. "You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You know, the Lord is so involved in our lives that in Matthew 10:30, He reassures us, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." Our Heavenly Father is the one who knows us the best and loves us the most. I mean, think about it. God hung the stars in space. He fashioned the earth's towering mountains and mighty oceans, and He determines the destiny of nations. Jeremiah observed, "Nothing is too difficult for you." Let's hold on to that thought for just a few seconds. What in all the world, what in all your lives is too difficult for Him? Nothing. The God who knows every hair follicle on every person in the whole world knows your situation. He knows your needs, even the deepest desires of your heart. Nothing in this study is more important than catching the vision of who God is and what are His responsibilities with our finances. Well, let's shift gears and let's take a look at our role with finances. The word that best describes our part is steward. A steward is a manager of someone else's stuff. And our responsibility is summed up in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. It is required of stewards that one be found faithful. Now, before we can be faithful, we have to know what we're supposed to do. It's just like a purchaser of a piece of complicated machinery has to study the manufacturer's manual just to learn how to operate it. And we need to examine the Creator's handbook, the Bible, to determine how He wants us to handle the possessions that He's entrusted to us. As we begin to study our responsibilities, it's so important to remember this. God loves you. He cares for you deeply. He's a God of mercy and grace. He's given us these principles because He wants the best for us. Now, most people discover areas in which they haven't been faithful. So I want you to hear this loud and clear. Don't become discouraged. Simply apply what you learn. Now, the Bible tells us we're to be faithful regardless of how much God entrusts to us, whether it's a fortune or just a handful of coins. In Matthew 25, Jesus told us a parable illustrating this. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2, to another 1. When the owner returned, he praised the servant who received the 5 talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And here's what's really interesting. The servant who had been given just 2 talents, he was also faithful with the use of them, and he received the identical reward as the one who'd been given the 5. The Lord rewards faithfulness regardless of the amount over which we're responsible. We're required to be faithful whether we have much or we have little. As someone once said, it's not what I would do if $1 million were my lot. It's what I'm doing with the $10 I've got. Now listen to this very carefully. God wants us to be faithful in handling all of our money. Unfortunately, most Christians have been taught only how to handle 10% of their income God's way, the area of giving. And although this is crucial, so is the other 90%. And as a result of not being taught how to handle 100% of their money biblically, so many Christians have made poor financial decisions with painful consequences. Hosea 4:6 reads, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But the good news is that when we're faithful stewards, we'll enjoy some amazing benefits. The first is more intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. Someone once told me that the Lord often allows a person to teach a subject because the teacher needs it, and it's certainly been true for me. I've never met anyone who had more wrong attitudes about money, who handled it more contrary to the Bible than I did. And yet when I began to apply these principles, the byproduct was that I grew much closer to the Lord. Well, the second benefit for being faithful is that your character will be developed. And all through the Bible, there's a correlation between the development of people's character and how they handle money. Money is regarded as an index to a person's true character. You've probably heard the expression, money talks. Well, it does. You can tell a lot about a person's character by examining her bank and credit card statements. Why? Because we spend our money on the things that are most important to us. Well, let me close this chapter by taking a quick look at 3 principles of faithfulness that are important for you to know. First, if we waste things, the Lord may not entrust us with more. Jesus told a parable in Luke 16 about a rich man who had a manager who was squandering his possessions. When the rich man learned about the manager squandering his stuff, he fired him. I know a businessman who earned a fortune in just 3 years, and then he went on a spending spree. Later, he told his staff he was running out of money and everyone would need to economize. And then the next day, he left for an expensive vacation and had his office lavishly renovated. The Lord removed this man from the privilege of being a steward over much. Today, he's on the verge of bankruptcy. Now, the second principle of faithfulness, and this is huge, is we're to be faithful in little things. Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much." How do you know if a salesperson will do a good job of serving a large client? Simply evaluate how she served a small client. If we have the character to be faithful with small things, the Lord knows He can trust us with greater responsibilities. Small things are small things. Now listen to this. But faithfulness with a small thing, well, it's a big thing. The third principle of faithfulness is that it's important to be faithful with others' possessions, because in some measure it's going to determine how much you're given. Luke 16:12 says, "If you've not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" And I think this is a principle that's often overlooked. Some people haven't been entrusted with more simply because they've been unfaithful with the possessions of their employers or neighbors or someone else. Well, let me sum up this chapter. God's the owner, He's in control of every event, and He's our provider. Our responsibility is simply to be faithful to handle money His way.